Hello. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Right. As you can hear, I've got another fighter. I've got Corey McKenna here. So I'm going to let her introduce herself and say a little bit about herself.
I'm Corey McKenna, professional fighter from Wales. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Right.
don't know what to
So,
say.
sorry. Yeah, we'll start off. I've seen your amateur record. Obviously, you fought at the Cage Warriors Academy. So obviously,
Yeah.
a great academy. Your training partners and coach is a big help in the Cage Warriors Academy. Jack.
I fought on it when it was BCMMA. I think I just like they've recently only changed it over to the Cage Warriors
Yeah.
Academy. But yeah, Jack runs the show really well. You know what I mean? He's my old coach, my current manager. So yeah, he's does a really good job with that show.
Yeah, I was at the last one in Colchester, and he was there. I was seeing him there.
Yeah.
He's a big guy for 170 pounds.
They don't call him the stone for no reason.
Yeah. So whilst you were there, obviously you had a 7-0 record,
Yes, I did.
two titles in two different weights, which is really impressive. What was it like? Obviously, winning one of them in one weight's really impressive, but winning two, how was that?
It was a great film. You know, I mean, the titles themselves. You know, they're like a bonus. I just wanted, especially at the amateur level, to just, you know, just to get the fights. So obviously the belts are a big bonus, but the only reason I won the second title was because I couldn't get any fights at 115. So it was great, and it's a great platform at the end of the day for amateurs as well on the BCMA slash Cage Warriors Academy. Obviously I fought elsewhere. I think I had four on BCMMA, maybe three,
Yeah.
but so I had about half of them on there, but it was great. It was a great opportunity for me, and definitely, you know, gave me the experience needed to go on to the pro scene.
Yeah, see, I've spoke to a lot of people that have, and obviously I covered the 8-man tournament that they had at the last BCMMA event, and they were saying, quite a lot of the guys were saying that the platform for amateur is basically just gaining experience. Was that the same for you? Like just to gain as much experience, fight experience as you could before you turn pro.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just preparation for, you know, for when you go pro. It's like that's where you want to do your learning and everything to make sure you're ready. Like I said, BCMA was great for that. You know, they treat all the amateurs as they would their pros, so you get the real feel for everything. So that's amateurs where you want to get your experience and
So do
test
you think
yourself.
the amateur records have much of effect as what people think? Obviously, you said obviously you won the titles and stuff. Do you think it makes much of a difference for having a good obviously record? Obviously, you were 7-0, and then obviously you went into your pro career. With people, obviously you were making your debut. So do you think people will look at that to obviously see who you've fought and how you've won them? But mainly, do you think the amateur records really matter, or is it mainly just for experience?
Like obviously it does matter and it does play a big part. You know, you've got pros that have had one or two amateurs, you've got people like myself who've had like seven or so. But at the end of the day, you know, your record's wiped clean. So whether you're undefeated or you've taken a few losses, so long as you're at the standard when you turn over, you know what I mean, then essentially it doesn't really make a difference because everyone's starting again. Obviously it does give me confidence going into my fights, knowing that I've already fought kind of the best girls. So I think in my opinion, like the girls that I fought for those titles and stuff, they were probably the best girls around in Europe, especially at the amateur level. So going into the pro ranks and stuff, I don't think the standard's too much different, so it does give me that like confidence going in there for sure.
Yeah, like as you said, you fought quite a lot of the best people in Europe, whereas quite a lot of the male fighters, they mainly fight because, not in a disrespect to the women's side of it, but the men's one's a bit more open to challenges and the more fighters that there is. Obviously, the women's is coming up now, it's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. They just fight mainly just fight UK based fighters at like the events like the BCMMA, Cage Warriors Academy and all these other local ones. But you fought people from Europe. You fought quite a lot of people from Europe.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like it's, yeah. I've fought girls from all around, like you say, like Europe, because I'm very fortunate that Jack and that were willing to look for opponents for myself. Because like you say, like where the men's divisions are so like broad and there's so many people in them, it is very easy to get matchups. Whereas obviously for me, it was a case of actively searching for these girls. So you know, I'd be fighting the, you know, we'd look at the rankings or whatever, and we'd say, right, you know, let's try and get the world gold medalist, let's try and get the world silver medalist, let's try and get one of these like top girls, you know what I mean? Because if you're gonna have to fly someone in anyway, you might as well, you know, test yourself against the best people out there.
Yeah, I take it. I suppose traveling, obviously, with the way the women's division's only just sort of evolved over the past few years, it, like you said, it was a bit more of a struggle to try and find these fighters. I bet the traveling was a bit extensive sometimes.
Yeah, you know what I mean, you've got to be willing to, you know, do stuff like that to get fights. And I had a, like, a few of my amateurs were last minute opponents or traveling somewhere because, you know, I'd had a pull out and some other girl had had a pull out, and that's always the way, you know what I mean, it just seems so difficult to get fights. So like I said, I was very fortunate that they were willing to fly girls in for me, because it is a big risk, you know what I mean, like if they pull out or, you know, if all sorts of stuff can happen, you know what I mean. But yeah, it's it, you know, you got to look for these fights, you know what I mean.
Yeah. So, I've had a look on Tapology. I'm not going 100% by it, but sometimes the past few interviews I've done, it's been slightly wrong. But for yourself, it's a good achievement. I've seen that you've had one pro fight, and in that, it's put you in the top 100 in the strawweight division.
Yeah. I really like, well, yeah, I look at Tapology a lot. Like in the UK and Ireland, I've kind of, I think I've always been in the top 15.
You're actually number seven.
Yeah, currently I'm number
Yeah.
seven. So hopefully, give me a little bit longer, I'll climb up, I'll get that number one spot.
Yeah, so it's good for like obviously other fighters, the younger fighters and younger girls that are coming through that want to get into it to find someone that's come through like an academy like yourself to see the success you're having. Obviously, you've just signed a new contract with Cage Warriors. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah,
Was
it
it a
was
6 fight contract?
five
Five.
fights. Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll look at that, and as now, as you're the stepping stone, you're sort of like the inspiration for these younger girls that are coming through the academies and stuff that want to do it, that can say to their parents or their friends and family that say, oh, girls shouldn't fight, or this that, and the other. You say, oh, look at Corey McKenna, she's done it through the academy and stuff. It's sort of like you're in a role model sort of position now.
Well, yeah, that's that would be great, you know what I mean, to be a role model. 'Cause yeah, like yeah, I think it's good, and I think there's a lot of, there are a lot of people coming up through, not even just the young people, you know what I mean, you don't have to be young to get
Yeah.
into it, you know what I mean, there's a lot of the older women getting into it and everything, and I think it's great to see the sport improving and growing, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's good for all round, especially for like obviously British-based fighters. The British fighters are coming out in force at the minute, and they're putting a stamp on the world of MMA, which is good. It's giving everyone a sort of a boost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's great, like, and you can see it, like.
Hello. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I'm here. Sorry. It's not normally this bad. I don't know what's going
No worries. Yeah, maybe, like you say, perhaps it's the internet.
Yeah. So as we were saying, there's a few fighters, obviously, like Paddy Pimblett, that's staying at Cage Warriors. Some people are really loyal to it, and just enjoy fighting. It's obviously, like you said, it's not one of them things if you're going to sit there and say one promotion's better than the other, because obviously there's a few things that people don't like about certain promotions, and there's some things that people do like about other promotions. Like you said, Cage Warriors are treating you really well. But can't remember what I was going to say now. Yeah, so you're just taking it in your stride, obviously taking your contract as it is, and doing your best you can for Cage Warriors.
Yeah, well, I have a great manager. Like Jack's my manager, you know what I mean, Stone Sports Management. And he'll tell me, you know, he'll tell me where to go, what to do. Obviously, I look at the girls and stuff, and you know, we all have an idea of who we want to fight. But at the end of the day, you know, Jack knows what's best for me, and if Cage Warriors are getting me the best fights and everything, and they're, you know, they're treating me well, then there's no reason for me to want to go anywhere else.
Good stuff. Do you? I've got. This is a question for me. Do you agree with what Leslie Smith is trying to do with, outside of obviously with what happened with her with the UFC and her contract being terminated and stuff like that, because her opponent pulled out, and now she's sort of trying to get things done about fighters' contracts and stuff like that. Do you agree with what she's trying to stand for and stuff?
I'm not going to lie, but I don't actually have a clue what she's doing. I'm not too clued up on that. Sorry.
Basically, she had a fight planned, and the person she was meant to be fighting, it was her last fight in her contract, and the girl pulled out, and her opponent and management team supposedly offered her $5,000. But the UFC said to her, we'll pay you all the show money and stuff like that for you not to fight. So she was getting paid $65,000 not to fight. And then they've cancelled her contract. They wouldn't extend her contract so she could actually fight her last fight. And she's trying to get it changed that it becomes a law that if you have one fight on your contract, that you can't just basically get it cancelled like that, because she didn't actually fight. So her contract was for her to fight, and then they've paid her out for the show money. So even though they've gave her the show money for the scheduled fight, she hasn't actually fought.
Yeah, well, I think that makes sense. You know, I mean, they should honor the contract. You know, I mean, a fight's a fight. Because at the end of the day, not everyone fights for the money. Obviously, that's a perk and it is necessary. But, you know, we fight because we enjoy fighting. So I can see why that would obviously annoy her.
Yeah, so she's... I've literally just before I rang her, she's done a fundraising page, and she's trying to. She put it quite bluntly that she's some way to getting fundraising to go towards legal fees to take on a $4 billion company.
Yeah. Well, hats off to her. You know, she's a. I can see where she's coming from with that, and I guess that's again like where. We're having a good manager and everything comes in, making sure that the contracts are written up correct and everything.
Yeah, because I've spoke to a few other guys. Obviously, I spoke to Brad Scott, who had his fight pulled the week of his event at UFC London. I asked if they had stuff in the contracts, or would it be better or beneficial if they had stuff in their contracts? So if stuff like that happened, obviously your opponent pulls out for injury, weight loss or anything like that, that you are... given the full show money, obviously, because if it's not you, you've obviously made weight, you're fully fit, you've weighed in and everything like that, and then your opponent's pulled out, so you've paid out for a training camp and everything like that to end up in, well, I'm not saying you'll end up in debt, but you've ended up short on money because you've paid for your training camp, whether it be 6 weeks, 9 weeks, 12 weeks, you've paid that out your own pocket and you've got no fight, so you're not making your money back, because obviously in the end of the day, it is a job.
Any money spent on training isn't a waste, you know, I mean, as long as you've improved and everything, but there is no worse feeling than having a pullout, for sure. It would be good if there was something in place, but at the end of the day, like, stuff happens, doesn't it? I'd like to think once you get obviously higher up in the pro level and everything, you know, everyone's being professional and it hopefully doesn't happen as much, but pull out suck.
Like you said, obviously it's not money wasted if you've improved and stuff like that, so you use it. It's like, it is not a waste of money, obviously, because you're still gaining from a loss. Basically, it's a silver lining to a thunderstorm.
Yeah, you should just be better the next time round. Like, I swear, the thing is, it's not money wasted, it's money invested. Like, you're putting it into yourself, and by the time your next fight comes around, you know, you'll be even higher level than you were before, you know what I mean? So you just got to look at it positive, I guess.
Good stuff. So obviously, if you've just announced your opponent, have you looked into her much? Have you done any research on her fights, or is it you're just going to focus on your game plan to focus on your side of the fight instead of worrying about too much about what she's going to try to, instead of knowing, making sure your game's on top?
Obviously, like, naturally, I've had a little look into her. I fought last was over at Team Alpha Male a couple of weeks ago, so I was having a chat with her. But in all fairness, I'm confident all around in my game, you know, whether it's on the ground, the stand-up, whatever. So I just focus on making sure I'm on point with everything, and then I'm confident going in whatever they, you know, whatever they throw at me. So I'm not, like, obviously I always have an idea of where I want to go or what I would go to, say, like, I'd have, like, my go-to stuff, like, the striking or my grappling or whatever. But I don't put, like, a strict game plan for somebody because at the end of the day, everyone's improving and changing all the time. There's no point fixating on one thing because, you know, you need to be able to adapt and, you know, go with the flow when you get in there.
Yeah, so obviously, like you said, you don't just focus on one thing. I've seen on your results and stuff like that, you're really well-rounded. You've had 3 sub wins. 3 decision wins in your amateurs, 1 KO, TKO in your amateurs, and then obviously your pro one was a TKO as well at the end of the round. So obviously you're well-rounded.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I didn't, like, for a lot of my fights, there's always something, you know, I always take away something that I want to work on. I'm very critical of myself. Like I never really felt like I showcased my striking. Compared in the gym to fighting, you know what I mean? But I'm very comfortable both on the feet and on the ground, so not too worried about it, really.
And like you said, there's always positives and negatives to take, even with a convincing win. There could be some negatives in your performance overall, and there's some stuff, well, not so much negatives, that's a bad way to put it, adjustments.
There is always stuff to improve on. Like, I mean, if you come out of a fight and you're 100% happy that that was a perfect performance, then you're probably not fighting the right people. You know, I mean, you're going to have taken some unnecessary strikes, or you're going to have done something. Like, there's always, if you look closely enough, there is always something you can improve on. And like, I'm never satisfied with any of my fights because I just, yeah, I want to keep improving. I think if I was to come away and go, okay, I got the win and just let it go, you know what I mean? Then you're not going to improve because you need to analyze, you need to see where you need to make these improvements and everything to kind of grow as, you know, as you go on.
Like, there's no end goal for your end performance or your end ability, so to speak.
I don't think, you know, there's always stuff to learn. You know, there's so many variations of everything, so many things you can work on. I don't think you'll ever be, or at least in my opinion, I don't think, you know, I'll ever be 100% perfect. You know what I mean? Because there's always something to learn and improve on.
Good stuff. Right. So I'm going to call it time. I'm going to thank you for your chat because I don't want to get disconnected again.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I'll let you enjoy the rest of your day in sunny America. And enjoy the rest of your training out there. And I look forward to seeing you fight. If you've got any sponsors or anyone you want to shout out, then fire away.
Yeah, Tatami Fightwear and Q&T Sports Nutrition are helping me out. After my last fight, you know, they offered to sponsor me. For Q&T, I think it's Corey10, you get 10% discount. So, you know, go check them out. They got the best kit, the best supplements. So I'm very glad to be working with them.
Good stuff. Right, again, thank you for the chat. And
thanks for having me.
I look forward to seeing you fight again.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your night. Go follow you Corey too. On Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Keep up to date with all the progress. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello? Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Probably the connection over the pond.
No worries.
Yeah. So obviously you are in the States. It must be really, really good. And a good confidence booster to live the life of traveling the world and training at these great gyms with these great people. I've seen on social media that you were training with Cody Garbrandt and Sage Northcutt.
I'm training at Team Alpha Male at the moment. I've got 8 weeks here. I think this is my fourth time coming to train with them. There's obviously I join in all the pro classes, so all the fighters are on the mats, you know what I mean? They always have 30 odd at least on the mats. You know what I mean? Yeah, the training's great. It's definitely, I'm very grateful for the opportunity, for sure.
Yeah, it must be a real confidence booster that you're getting to train with these top level guys, obviously guys that are in the UFC, guys and girls that are in the UFC, and that are at the top of the game. Obviously, Cody Garbrandt's former champion, who'll be fighting for the title again, and Sage Northcutt, another young hot prospect for the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're just like people that I see as almost like, you know, they're training partners at the end of the day. I'm not gonna go, I'm not fangirling it out here.
Yeah, to you, they're regular people. To me,
well, that's what I'm saying.
It's a bit different.
You know, I see myself being there one day, so I'm not, you know.
Yeah, you're not getting too excited about it.
Yeah, exactly. I think, like you say, to me, they're regular people because I see myself doing what they're doing every day. So.
Right, I've just had a comment come through from Slaphead Giraffe. I think you've been on his podcast before.
I have a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah. He says, ask her how the suntan is going out there. Also, when will we know the name of her opponent?
I'm the tanning's going great. I'm at least an off-white at the moment. I don't look transparent. No, my opponent, yeah, I'm fighting Eva Dorth. Dorth, I'm probably saying it wrong. She's French, 3-0. She's a high level girl. It's gonna be good.
Good, good. I've got another question from someone on social media. You've seen this one from, I hope I pronounced this one right, Ewan McKenzie. He says, what's your eventual goal for the end of 2018?
I see myself, 3-0. Hopefully, maybe title contention if I haven't already maybe tried to get that. I think I want at least 3 fights this year. So, obviously, I intend to win them all. The Cage Warrior strap's going free at my weight, I believe. So, perhaps... maybe I can call for that.
Yeah. So obviously you've obviously fought once more, so you're planning on another 2 fights this year.
Yeah, well, obviously June 16th, and then I've still got half the year to play with, so.
Yeah, good stuff. Obviously you've fought in 2 different weight classes before. Now you've signed your 5 fight contract. Do you plan on staying at 1 fight, or is it wherever the opportunity arises for you to go? If it comes up in a different weight class, you can say, I'll take that fight. I can make that weight easy.
I mean, I could, but at the end of the day, this is my career now, so I don't want to be taking any unnecessary risks. You know, I mean, I'm a 115er, like, that's kind of my comfortable weight. That's where I'm having success. If something, some great opportunity was to come up, then perhaps I'd consider it. But at the moment, I'm sticking with 115. I think that's where I need to stay.
Good stuff. So obviously, being with Cage Warriors, what's the eventual end goal? Is it just UFC bound, obviously, to fight in the biggest promotions going, or
I'm really grateful for everything Cage Warriors are doing for me, and the opportunity they've given me, so I'm not going to sit here saying I want to be in the UFC or anything, because at the end of the day, all I really want is to fight the best girls available, on the best platforms, and really try and show everyone what I'm capable of. So if that's Cage Warriors give me that opportunity, then I'm more than happy staying there.
Yeah, obviously you've got fighters that stay in there at the minute anyway. Obviously I've seen it this morning that supposedly Paddy Pimblett was offered a fight on the UFC Love Bowl, but he stayed at Cage Warriors.
I heard that, and if that's where he feels that he needs to be to